week, and so that's why we want to be keeping her in prayers. So you know that. And Edie wanted me to mention that today is Basil and Minnie's 20th anniversary. So there you go. So just having seen that scene from God's Not Dead 2, here's a classic prototypical kind of scene that you see from a television drama from many years ago, right? I'm sure you'll remember Perry Mason, convinced of the innocence of his client. He's pacing up and down, about to make his final presentations, and then he whirls around and pins his witness to the wall and says, "Did you or did you not?" And the victim just starts sobbing, or the witness starts sobbing, and the weight of guilt is too much to bear, and between sobs, chokes out a confession. And once again, justice has triumphed, and America is still safe, the land of the free. At least that's the way it works on TV, right? In real life, it's not always that way. For time after time, the guilty get acquitted. They get freedom. The world seems askew. But despite what happens in the justice system, which we're not really here to talk about today, guilt is a constant. Those who are guilty, whether it gets recognized in the courts or not. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about guilt. We've been spending some time over these weeks in the summer when I've been speaking, thinking about with Christ at the crossroads of life, and you know, thought of different things that come up in our life, and all of a sudden, what do I do about it? Well, today we're going to think about guilt along those lines, because as with all the ones that we have been looking at, it's something that affects all of us. We all have it in our life to some extent. We all have some guilt and something that we need to deal with, and so want to understand it a little bit. On your outline, in my Bible dictionary at home, there's a definition right at the top of your outline there, and it says that guilt is the legal and moral condition that results from a violation of God's law. The legal and moral condition that results from a violation of God's law. So there are two areas that I want to kind of talk about here this morning, the legal condition and the moral condition, as you can see on the outline there. So the first is the legal condition that results. And what that means is that in everyday English, is because we violate God's law, because we sin, because we do evil, we are guilty. And that's where it's at in terms of the legal condition. In the words of Romans 3:23, and we all fall short of the glory of God. We are. Every human is guilty of sin, and that's where we are at legally. I was thinking in terms of Bill Bright, the old Campus Crusade guy, in terms of the four spiritual laws that he talks about. You know, after the first one that says God loves you, the second one says that we are separated from God because of that sin, because of this, of the legal condition where we're at, because we're guilty. You know, God is here and we're over here, and there's nothing that we can do to get from here to there on our own. We can try all kinds of ways, but we can't get there because we're guilty. We are sinners, and that's just the way that it is. We've all seen, you know, a picture of, you know, of the cliff between, right? There's these walls and two cliffs, and people try to get across, and the only thing that gets across is the cross of Jesus. And so that's how we... That's what we need to be able to deal with this guilt. And so what we'll be thinking about here this morning. There's only that one way, and that's the next of the spiritual laws, that Jesus died on the cross and, you know, and made a way for us to him. And there's no other way. And that's what we need to be able to deal with that guilt. And so as God's children, once we have accepted that, once we have chosen to make Jesus our Lord and Savior, then we no longer are guilty. And legally speaking, we no longer have that guilt, and we are clean. But the question is, then why do we still feel guilty? Because we still do, right? We still feel guilty. And so there's four different points that I want to look at, you know, in your outline there that helps us to see about what reasons are that we still feel guilty, because in God's eyes we're not. Jesus' sacrifice took that sin away when we've asked for that to happen. And so So we aren't guilty, and yet we still so often feel that we are. And so we're going to look at these four different things that you see there in point two about why it is that we feel guilty. And we'll see, a brief summary beforehand. It comes from God. It comes from ourself. It comes from those around us. And it comes from Satan, is where these different feelings of guilt come from. And we need to respond to them in different ways, depending on where they're coming from. So turn with me to Psalm 38 as we look into God's Word. Psalm 38, and there's a number of verses that we're going to read here together this morning, but we'll start here. Psalm 38 is a psalm of David, someone who was a follower of God for sure. Let me read verses 1 through 10 of Psalm 38. One more page. Here's what we read. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have pierced me. Your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. Let me just read verse 4 again. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Verse 10, my heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. Here's somebody who's guilty. You read this and you can tell this is somebody who's guilty, and they know it, and they're feeling guilty. And rightly so. This is one of three or four psalms that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. And so here was a man who committed adultery, who caused the murder of a man. He was someone who was guilty. And in that guilt, God spoke to him. God brought him to feel this guilt because he was sinful. He had done what was wrong. And so we need to pay attention when guilt is coming from God. When God is convicting us of our sin, we need to pay attention to that and hear what it is that God's saying and respond to that. So that is a guilt that is there because it should be. And so we need to listen to that kind of guilt. I was thinking of a time, and this was a while ago, when we had some folks over for lunch, and there was their kids were with them, of course, and one of them was a little girl who was in grade 7. And during the course of the conversation over the meal, it came up that she had had a test a couple of days before at school, and felt quite comfortable, and said, I did really well, because I knew most of the answers, except for one of them I wasn't sure about, and so I looked at the paper at the boy right next to me, and then I knew what was the right answer. And, she hadn't thought anything of this, that there was anything, we were all kind of startled by this, very frank admission of what had happened. And so the talk kind of went directed at her for a few moments, and then she realized that what she had done wasn't right. That cheating like that was not good, and so she got up and left the room really despondent and heartless and feeling guilty. But anyway, she came back after a little bit and said, I'm going to tell the teacher what I did. And she was truly repentant. And when you look in this psalm, just a little bit further down in the psalm, look at verse 21. O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. We need to turn to God when God is convicting us of our sin. When we're feeling guilty because of God's conviction, we need to turn to Him and come to Him and then make it right. Same as this little girl. She turned around and said, I need to make this right. We need to see the need that we have to look to God. So we need to pay attention to what God is saying to us, because otherwise the guilt will continue to be there and be too much for us to bear. I reference there a verse that's pretty familiar to us all, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But I'll read it to you. A verse that speaks to us of what needs to happen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me read there. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When God is convicting us, when we're feeling guilt because God is speaking to our heart, we just need to humble ourselves and turn to him and admit where we're at. And then God will heal our land, or in this case, he will heal our heart and take that guilt away. And so that's one way to be rid of guilt in our life. If it's guilt that's coming from God, we need to turn to him and humbly admit the things that we have done. So that's one way to deal with guilt. But it isn't always where it comes from. And so the next one that we look at there, it says if guilt comes because we have forgotten God's promises, we must remind ourselves of them. We read verses like it talks there about 1 John 1:9, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's pretty far, right? When you look at a globe, you know, you go north, and at one point you get north, and then you start going south, right? And then if you're going south, at one point you get south, and then you start going north. But when you're going east or west, you can just keep going east and east and east and east until you're back in the same spot. And it says, this is how far God has removed our transgressions from us. You know, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has taken that from us. And that's pretty significant. But sometimes we forget that. We forget these promises that are here, you know, that God has done that. And he's removed those sins from us as far as we can. Or as far as we can think, even beyond what we can think. I was remembering when I was little, and I was sharing this with the kids last week at CTP. You know, I can't pinpoint a day exactly when I became a Christian. I was 5 or 6 kind of thing. But what I do remember is when I was 9 years old. And that summer, and I don't remember in particular what brought it on, but I was talking a little bit about my sister to the kids. But anyways, for about 2 or 3 weeks, every night, I was just pleading with God desperately, God, you need to forgive me of my sins. I'm such a terrible person. Would you please do this? And then again, the next night, I would do the same thing. And then the next night, I did the same thing. But you know, I didn't need to all those other nights because God had already forgiven me. God can forget things, but we can't. And so we have these things buried in the back of our minds, and they keep coming up. They keep coming up. And so when they do, we need to look at these verses and these reminders to us, like 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He will. He'll forgive us when we come and ask for his forgiveness. And then he takes that sin away as far as the east is from the west. And so when we remember these promises, then this ability that we don't have to forget, God will deal with it. And he'll help us to get that stuff behind us so that we can move on. So we need to remember those promises, and if we can't remember them, we need to look at them again and refresh ourselves and read the promises that God has made to us, that he will take this away from us. And we don't have to keep feeling guilty and guilty and guilty about something that God has already forgiven us. And so that's another thing that we can think of. A couple other verses there that I referenced, Matthew chapter 11. We read in there another verse that helps us to see this truth. Matthew 11 and 28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I will give you rest. If you put your burdens on me, you don't have to keep carrying them. I will give you rest. And this is what he promises us. We need to remember that. Romans 8, just over a few pages, another passage that reminds us of this truth. Romans 8, and reading at verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation. Even if we keep condemning ourselves, in God's eyes, it says there's no condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of sin set me free from the law of sin and death. And then down at verse 33 in the same chapter, it says there, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And say, no. And I'm down at verse 38. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we have guilt coming to us from God, we need to listen to it. If we have guilt coming to us from ourselves just because we've forgotten what God said, we need to not listen to it. Okay? So let's go on, because it keeps coming from other places too. The next one there, 2C, says if guilt comes because those around us try to impose it on us, we must be sure we are in the right. Sometimes people around us try to make us feel guilty. They try to lay in a guilt trip on us, right, for something, and sometimes they should be, but sometimes they shouldn't. And so we need to discover where we're at in that regard. I remember reading a book a while ago that was the story of a man named Stephen Linscott. I don't know if any of you would know of him or remember him, but anyways, he went to Emmaus Bible College, which is a Brethren Bible school just outside of Chicago. And in this book, he tells about one night in the fall of 1980, he had a dream, a very frightening dream, and in this dream, he saw a person get murdered quite brutally. And that same night, just down the street, a little girl was murdered. And so the next morning, the police were going door to door trying to look for clues and see what they could discover, right? Saying, you know, if you think of anything, even if it seems silly, let us know, because we don't have any clues to go with on this thing. And so he remembered that dream and eventually told them about this dream, thinking perhaps this came from God to help the police to solve this case. And so the police ended up using this dream as evidence to convict him of this murder. And he was in and out of prison for the next 12 years before he was finally exonerated and shown that he had nothing to do with it at all. And when we hear a story like that, we think, what a perversion of justice. How could this sort of thing happen, that he could end up being convicted of doing something he never did? But, you know, in this book, he talks about the fact that never once in those 12 years did he ever feel guilty, even though they were trying their hardest to make him feel guilty for this thing so that he would confess to it and all this kind of thing. He didn't, because he knew he was in the right. He knew that he hadn't done it. So sometimes people around us try to make us feel guilty for something because we didn't do it the way they wanted it to be done, or whatever it might be. But if we haven't stepped across God's laws, we're not guilty. And so if someone else is trying to make us feel guilty, we need to make sure that we're in the right. The verses that I have there are referring to Jesus. What did Jesus do? They were trying to make him feel guilty, right? Turn to Matthew 26. And we read there at verse 57. To 63. So Matthew 26 and 57. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. Peter followed him at a distance right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, although many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.' Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, 'Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?' But Jesus remained silent." They were doing what they could to make him appear guilty and even to feel guilty. You know, even sort of saying something that he had done with a little bit of a twist, or that he had said with a bit of a twist. But they couldn't make him feel guilty because he knew he wasn't. And so it's the same for us in our lives. If we're feeling guilty because other people are making us feel guilty, we need to make sure we're in the right. And if we are in the right, then we don't need to worry at all. We don't need to feel guilty, because we aren't. And so that's the third thing that we need to think about. Sometimes in our life, sometimes we feel guilty, as it says there in part D. If guilt comes because Satan is trying to disable us, we must resist him. And you know what it's like. Satan wants to disable us. He doesn't want us to be effective in our outreach. He wants to make it that we aren't able to accomplish anything for our Lord. And so we hear from within, you know, his voice saying things like, "You stupid, what did you do that for?" Right? "You're no use to God. He doesn't want you. What can you do for him? You just keep doing all these stupid things and you keep messing up." You've heard stuff like that in your mind, right? At some point or another. Well, you can know when you hear that voice, when it's not convicting, but it's condemning, it is not from God. It's from Satan. And he's trying to trip you up, trying to make you feel guilty, trying to make you useless to God, which is what he's looking for, right? He's looking for us to be of no use at all. So what do we do? Well, 1 Peter 5, it talks about there. Well, Matthew 4:11 is the midst of Jesus' temptation. 1 Peter 5 and verses 8 and 9. We read there, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Okay? He's going to try to make us feel guilty, even for something that we haven't done. And then it says in verse 9, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Resist him, stand firm in the faith. You know, we could look at the whole passage about the armor of God that talks more about this. We need to resist the devil. We need to stand against him when he's trying to make us feel guilty, because he's only doing it to make us fail. He's doing it so that we won't be able to accomplish the things that God has for us. So we need to stand against him. We need to resist him so that we're able to stand for God. So in the future, when you feel guilty, and you know that it's going to come, because it happens pretty much every day, we need to determine where that guilt is coming from. If it's coming from God because of our sin, if God is convicting us, then we need to respond to that guilt. And we need to come to God in repentance. We need to turn to God. If the guilt that is coming to us is coming because we've forgotten God's promises of forgiveness, and we need to read them again for the assurance that they give us that we aren't guilty. God has taken that away. If people around us are trying to make us feel guilty, we need to be making sure that we are in the right. And if we are, we don't need to listen to what they're trying to make us feel guilty of if we are doing what God would have us to do. Now, and lastly, if Satan is desiring to stumble us, trying to make us feel guilty, we need to resist him. We need to stand against him using the sword of the Spirit, as we saw that Jesus did in the time of the temptation. Using prayer, which is our greatest weapon, we need to stand against Satan. And if we're doing those four, then we will have victory at the crossroads of guilt. Let me just pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that we can turn to you. Grateful that we can know that you are there for us in all of the difficult times in our life. Help us to remember when we're feeling guilty, what that means, Father. Help us to, if it's you who is bringing that to us, help us to recognize that conviction and respond to it in repentance. If it's any one of these other areas, Father, help us to resist the devil. Help us to remember the promises that you've given us. Help us to stay in the right. And then these feelings of guilt that we so often have will go away. So we thank you that you are standing there with us in the midst of these things. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here together today. And as we go from here, help us to declare to the world around us that they have a way to get beyond the guilt that is a part of their life as they look to you. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. Do we have a song, Kevin?